Hey, good evening, everybody. I'm Tim, and welcome to the first Sunday of Advent at Emmaus Way. Always, this actually may be one of my favorite Sundays kind of in our calendar because there's always so much energy that goes into getting the room set up, and this is obviously our first Advent in this space, so many, many thanks to many folks who worked very hard to prepare the stations that we'll talk about later, and art and the music and the aesthetic of the room. So thank you to all of you who did that. Let's begin with our call to gather. It's entitled A Blessing for Traveling in the Dark, and I'll read that to us. Go slow if you can. Slower. More slowly still. Friendly, dark, or fearsome, this is no place to break your neck by rushing, by running, by crashing into what you cannot see. Then again, it is true, different darks have different tasks. And if you've arrived here unawares, if you've come in peril or in pain, this might be no place you should dawdle. I do not know what these shadows ask of you, what they might hold that means you good or ill. It is not for me to reckon whether you should linger or you should leave, but this is what I ask of you. That in the darkness there be a blessing, that in the shadows there be a welcome, that in the night you be encompassed by the love that knows your name. Amen. Again, it's delightful to be with you guys on the first Sunday of Advent, and as usually as a part of our kind of worship liturgy and gathering, the kids here on the blanket, there's a bunch of you guys tonight, lead us in our community song, which is O Come Emmanuel. And Rhody, I think you're going to leave that off tonight, right?
Yeah.
Ready? Candle on our Advent wreath and share a reading about the first Sunday of Advent. Hey guys, got the whole crew here.
Tonight, along with churches all over the world, we enter into the season of Advent. Advent is the beginning of the new church year and means coming or arrival. It is the four-week period where we anticipate and prepare for the coming of Jesus into the world as a babe in a manger.
We start the season of Advent by emphasizing the importance of expectation. Many of us may approach expectation from a decidedly positive perspective, but it's perhaps just as easy to experience expectation as something less than positive. One of the more uneasy varieties. For Advent invites us into the space of the not yet, and expectation in the not yet is not always easy. As we wait in expectation in this season of not yet, we see the signs of God, signs of the goodness to come, signs that disturb, surprise, and awaken us. An angel's voice, a prophet in the wilderness, a virgin with child, signs we might otherwise quietly dismiss as ridiculous. Signs, in fact, of Emmanuel, God with us. Signs that we have and do and will, in fact, change everything.
But all the signs did not come at once. And so we enter into this season of expectation, this space prepared for us to wait with all the excitement, fear, anxiety, and hope it contains. Tonight, we will consider the ways of expectation, the ways expectation may affirm or challenge our experience of the season through our station worship, the lectionary texts, the open table, and singing songs of the season together. But we will first begin our Advent observation by lighting the candle of expectation as we communally begin our journey toward the coming of Christ, which we did.
Good candlelight. That was skillful. Yeah, thank you guys. It's good to see all of you again here as we do start and move into Advent today. Let me just give us a check. And thanks, kiddos. It was good to see you guys. Ready? What are we doing tonight? Anything special?
Advent 1.
Advent 1?
Yeah.
All right. We're at it. Good. So just a few quick announcements. On the Durham Can side of things, and most of you guys know, Durham Can is one of our primary partnerships. It's kind of the organizing community that we work for justice with in Durham, and we've been in the middle of many, many campaigns. But Monday night is the Songs of Hope fundraiser. That's a big part of our kind of the philosophy of CAN is you can't change the world without organizing people and organizing money. And so this is one of our opportunities to organize our money to work for things like affordable housing and educational equity and jobs. And we're unleashing a pretty big jobs campaign right now. So please be invited to attend this. Emmaus Way is trying to get 15 people out. It'll be 7 o'clock to 8:30 Monday night at Duke Memorial. And we're really hoping to kind of pack that place out. Our friend Cullen, who's on staff there, tells us they can hold about 700 people. So we're going to see how close we can get to 700. This would be a fun thing to invite friends to, people that are part of your kind of network as well. So Songs of Hope, and it'll be a very kind of casual, musical environment. People will be able to donate in terms of like online there and a whole lot of things with pledges. But it'll be fun to do. So hopefully you can come out to that. Next big thing is next Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, we usually do a significant musical liturgy as a part of Advent. Mark, do you want to tell us what the plan is for next Sunday?
We'll meet at our normal time, 4:30, but we're going to be meeting in the sanctuary of Calvary, which is like the bigger part that's up there. We'll be meeting, we're going to have, I think I've got 10 or 11, 12 musicians, something like that, including some strings, I hope. It'll be a great night to like have all music, and then we're also going to be integrating, Molly, you may be able to speak to this more than I can, but we'll be integrating with some of our ministry partners as well.
Yeah. So the past 2 years, if y'all remember, we did called an Advent Benefit for Religious Coalition. This year we're calling it an Advent Celebration because we really wanted to celebrate the name where we see hope in this place. So Calvary United Methodist will be there, Inside Out, the preschool, Durham Community Preschool, as well as hopefully Unfailing Love, the other church that meets here. So we're really just celebrating hope in this place and in Durham. So still invite your friends. There will still be food. The merriment will just be mulled wine this year.
I eat less merriment by a lot.
Different understandings of merriment this year.
Those Methodists.
One is for helping to set up this room with tables and things like that for the potluck. One is to tell us what you're bringing. We're not dictating, you know, like three starches and one set of brownies or anything like that. But just so other people can see what's already been taken. And then the third sign-up sheet is for cleanup. And that might be one of the most important ones. You know, in the past, a lot of times cleanup gets relegated to the staff because everybody leaves, whether it's, you know, babies or other things going on. People tend to just leave as soon as things are over. And so please, if you are available, we'd love for you to stick around and help clean up a little bit afterwards. And I think that's it. Look out for EWA Social. We're going to send out links to the sign-up sheets so you can digitally sign on as well. But if you think about it, go over here, and they're behind the lamp over there. So.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And what a beautiful, I love the idea of the kind of the shift of this is, if you can imagine us in a new space, this is an opportunity to celebrate the new relationships and web of relationships that meet in and out of this building and are located in this particular geography. So what a really nice moment for us as a community to kind of be host and be hosted and to be a connection point for all the folks that are part of kind of the ministry life of this building. So beautifully well done to whoever's the folks were that conceived that. One last thing on Songs of Hope. I should have mentioned that one of the lead musicians is Tim Holly, who's a cellist and a professor at Central, who has played historically at Emmaus Way through the years. And so he's kind of actually, our favorite description of Tim is, when this did happen once, when Yo-Yo Ma gets a cold, Tim Holly's the one they call in. And so that's happened at least once to him. So anyway, he's fantastic. So anyway, see you next Sunday, hopefully Monday night. And Carter, we're delighted to have you with us to lead us into kind of our worship and kind of our music liturgy tonight.
I was really struck by the idea that was read during the lighting of the first candle, that that expectation isn't always a wholly positive thing. And I wanted to pick songs tonight that kind of capture that idea of that we have comfort in what's to come, but expectation means that that thing is not here yet. And living in that balance of expectation can be a hard space to live in. So I invite you all to reflect on that tonight as we listen and sing.
I have been searching all of my days, all of my days. Many roads, you know, I've been walking on, all of my days. And I've been trying to find what's been in my mind. As the days keep turning into night, well, I have been quietly standing in the shade all of my days. Watch the sky breaking on the promise that we made, all of this rain. And I've been trying to find what's been in my mind. As the days keep turning into night, many a night I found myself with no friendly standing near, all of my days. I cried aloud, I shook my hands, what am I doing here, all of these days. For I look around me and my eyes confound me. It's just too bright. As the days keep turning into night, now I see clearly, it's you I'm looking for, all of my days. Soon I'll smile, I know I'll feel this loneliness no more, all of my days. For I look around me and it seems you found me, and it's coming into sight. days keep turning into night. As the days keep turning into night. And even breathing feels alright. Yes, even breathing feels alright. And even breathing feels alright. Yes, even breathing feels alright.
It is a tradition of Emmaus Way to start Advent in the dark and each week just slowly increase the light as Christ draws near. And I forgot that when I did bring my iPad this evening. So I was like, oh yeah, darkness. But anyway, it'll be fine. I also wasn't really sure what I was thinking when I suggested back in like October that we should do homilies for Advent on Isaiah. I thought that that would be more fun than the Gospels. And yeah, Isaiah has a strong lament to share with us to begin Advent tonight. So that's where we will begin. Would someone read Isaiah 64, 1 through 4? You can get out your cell phone if you need to see.
Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. When fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quake at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him.
Thanks so much, Dave. So, I don't know about you, but when I hear this passage, I hear it coming from the voice of a really ragged and weary Isaiah, speaking on behalf of his people. Where are you, God? Why aren't you tearing open the heavens and coming down? But really, where are you? Why are we not seeing you move mountains and quaking the earth? Why aren't our enemies trembling at your presence? Where the hell are you? And Isaiah's voice, Isaiah's lament, doesn't sound that dissimilar to many voices I've been hearing these days either. Where are you, God? Why aren't you tearing open the heavens and coming down to Capitol Hill? But really, where are you? Why are we not seeing you move mountains and quaking the earth, stopping hurricanes and oil spills, ending genocides and wars and ceaseless gun violence? Why aren't our enemies, those who do not value the least, the last, and the lost, trembling at your presence? Where are you, God? Or, as Steve Earle puts it, and Brandon Bain so reminded me this week on Facebook, in his song, Christmas in Washington, there's spaces in the hen house, crows out in the cows out in the corn. The unions have been busted, their proud red banners torn. To listen to the radio, you'd think that all was well. But you and me and Cisco know it's going straight to hell. So come back, Emma Goldman. Rise up, old Joe Hill. The barricades are going up. They cannot break our will. Come back to us, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. We're marching into Selma as the bells of freedom ring. So come back, Woody Guthrie, come back to us now. Tear your eyes from paradise and rise again somehow. Lament. Deep sorrow. Anguish. That is what we find to begin this Advent season. Not happy, idealistic sentimentality, but lament. Isaiah cries out to God in lament, following the Israelites' return from their exile in Babylon. Having made their way home, the Israelites wrestled with questions of what their life, their community, their relationship with God would look like now, in this time and space. No longer in captivity, but still waiting for God to do something, anything. This lament of Isaiah gave voice to the Israelites, longing for a God who seems absent. And this lament of Isaiah gives voice and space for us as we continue to long for a God who more often than not seems absent today. Sure, we know, like Isaiah, that God has done awesome deeds that we did not expect. The burning bush and the calling of Moses, the parting of the Red Sea and later freedom of the Israelites, a babe in the manger, the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of Lazarus, to name a few. But we also know, perhaps more profoundly, if we're being honest, the feeling of what some might call the divine silence of God. And into this silence, a silence that creates deep lament, what are we to do? Well, Isaiah shares a bittersweet truth and tells us we are to wait. Wait. Waiting is such a universal and deeply human experience. And yet, even if we knew how to wait, we are tired of waiting. Or at least, I'm tired of waiting. If I'm being honest, what I want is for God to actually tear open the heavens and to let God's cosmic light bear down on every place where injustice and its power brokers are trying to keep the world in the dark. I yearn for a God to quake and tremble, as God did on Sinai, as well as at Jesus' baptism and during the Transfiguration. Hopeful expectation and starry-eyed wakefulness just aren't doing it for me anymore. Not when justice has been delayed and denied again and again and again. When streets are chaotic with violence, when hearts are shattered by endless, needless, pointless loss, when the fragility of life seems far too weighty and precious to merely wait. And yet we're told, no eye has seen any God beside you who works for those who wait for him. Now, this waiting Isaiah speaks of is not like the waiting found in Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot, or at least I really hope not, where two men sit down, right? You all, most of you do know this, right? Two men sit down and they wait for Godot. And they talk and they talk, and you're not really sure who Godot is, and then they play. And then the play ends, and Godot never shows up, never comes. And one wonders if the senseless waiting will ever end. And I don't know about you, but I was just ticked off when the entire thing finished. Because why did you wait for nothing, for the person not to show up? That seems like cruel waiting. So when I think of waiting, and when I think of what the prophet Isaiah is getting at, and when I think about who God is, I really think this waiting we're being invited into is more like what theologian Paul Tillich describes. He notes, the fact that we wait for something shows that in some way we already possess it. Waiting anticipates that which is not yet real. If we wait in hope and patience, the power of that for which we wait is already effective within us. He who waits in an ultimate sense is not far from that for which he waits. She who waits passionately is already an active power herself, the greatest power of transformation in personal and historical life. He goes on to say, We are stronger when we wait than when we possess. When we possess God, we reduce God to that small thing we knew and grasped of God. But if we know that we do not know God fully, and if we wait for God to make God's self known to us, we then really know something of God. We then are grasped and known and loved by God. It is then that we are believers in our unbelief. So, here we all are, waiting in the dark once again at Advent, crying out laments of one kind or another, wondering if God will break into the divine silence of our world. We find ourselves still waiting, yes, but also trusting with a restless expectation that we are stronger when we wait than when we possess. And we wait believing even in our unbelief that yes, in fact, the same God of Isaiah and the Israelites, the same God who entered the world through the incarnation, who has done deeds we did not expect, will once again do the same, somehow, some way. For this is a God who enters our world through the tearing open of the heavens and through theophanies, yes. But this also is a God, I believe, who hears our laments, breaks into our waiting, and enters our world simply by sitting beside us as we cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Emmanuel." And gently, as God sits beside, turns our face that is in the dark toward the direction from which the light will in fact come. Maybe not today or the next day, but one day. And so we wait with a restless expectation this Advent season. Amen. Carter, if you would lead us in our songs of reflection.
If I were a shepherd, I would bring the lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give, God? Give my heart.
This next song is from a concept album that's based on the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It's called Dear Wormwood, and Wormwood being the extension of Satan that the protagonist is interacting with and eventually names and confronts. And it really came to mind with me just thinking about the anguish that we have to leave behind in expectation of something better.
I name you my enemy. Someday Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where all are free. Someday Christmas, there'll be no wars, when we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth. Someday all our dreams will come to be. Someday in a world where all are free, maybe not in time for you and me, but someday Christmas time. Someday Christmas, we'll see a land with no hungry children, no empty hand. One happy morning people will share, a world where people care. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no tears, all are equal and there are no fears. One shining moment, one prayer away from our world today. Someday all our dreams will come to be. Someday in a world where all are free, maybe not in time for you and me, but someday at Christmas time. Someday at Christmas, the world will not fail. Hate will be gone and love will prevail. Someday a new world that we can start, with hope in every heart. Someday all our dreams will come to be. Someday in a world where all are free, maybe not in time for you and me, but someday Christmas time. Someday Christmas time.
Thanks so much, Carter. And like I said earlier, we normally don't worship in the dark, though maybe we can start if folks like it. And we also normally don't have a homily, it's a dialogue, but it's Advent. And in Advent, things are done differently. And a really beautiful tradition of Advent in Emmaus Way is that during Advent, we have art stations. And this year, as I was thinking about these stations, the fabulous people that have put them together, and the waiting for God, I really see them all as spiritual practice for each of us as we wait and prepare. And even in our waiting and our preparing, recognize that we still can be about the kingdom and justice and love here and now, even in the dark. So that's what we're going to do. And the stations are as follows. We have our open table as a station. So come to the table, serve one another the bread and the wine. And it is mulled wine because it's Advent, and that's the best. Not the best part of the Emmaus Way Advent, but definitely in the top three things that are the best. So come to the open table, break bread, pour wine or juice for one another, and gluten-free cracker. Be reminded that God is still in our midst, even as we wait. To over here, there's a chrismon making station. So come, make a chrismon, hang it on your tree. Over here is a letter writing station, and J. Ross and Emerson have, I believe, folks or persons, specific people you can write letters to if you would like. You can also use that space for letter writing to write a letter to anyone or multiple people that you would like. And through the door is our contemplative prayer station. And this year, our contemplative prayer station is also really accessible for our kids. So whenever they come in, parents, if you are friends of the child, if you would like to go and pray and meditate with them, please do. And then up on the stage is our community art project. There are instructions on the table, but I will just say a few things. One, it's really easy. Don't be scared looking at a branch and a lot of yarn. Do not be afraid. So, and two, don't just hang string one piece of yarn up there. It's a really big branch, so put multiple pieces of yarn up there. But basically, what we are doing is we are creating a community art piece for this space that will hang more than likely right there many a Sunday to remind us that we are even in our waiting and even in our expectation, we are in fact invited to be about the kingdom. To remember that we are oaks, that we are heirs of Jesse, that we are to make all things new and beautiful alongside God. And so as you string, it's more eloquently written out in the instructions, you should read it. But as you string the yarn, color-coded, you'll see it up there, it's pretty basic. There's also cut string, and we would love it. It's kind of a tealy color, you'll see it. If you would like wrap the string also around your wrist or some other place, or put it on your keychain, just to remind us that we are connected as we go about the kingdom of God. Connected to one another, connected to the broader world, connected to God self. Those are the stations. Also get snacks. Last little thing, we've tried to put the contemplative station a little back so it can stay contemplative, but as we all know, voice really carries in this room. So just, if you're like over in that corner, maybe just don't yell. Because it might be a little hard to meditate. Or even just don't talk above a whisper if you're like right back over in that corner. You are invited to stations and to our open table. We will do this for about 30 minutes. And then Tim will come and lead us in a benediction for our sending. You don't have to do all the stations tonight. That's another thing I forgot. We will have one more week of stations on December 17th. But feel free to do all the stations tonight. Last logistical thing, then I'll shut up. Chairs. If there are not enough chairs and you can like squeeze in, stand up there, bring a red chair, make it work. It'll be great. So now you're invited to our Advent stations.
Hey everybody, let me ask you to pause for just 1 second for a quick benediction. I actually was hoping Blythe was going to do the benediction. She looks so comfortable here on the microphone. So maybe the next time, maybe next Sunday night. But thank you to the stations are marvelous. They're absolutely marvelous. Touching that yarn up there is just incredible. The textures and watching the colors go there. So anyway, and Molly, thank you for raising the question of waiting. The idea that in somehow we're deeply empowered and beauty is actually greater in terms of how it's unleashed in our souls as we wait. And so I send you out tonight as people waiting for an Advent that will surely come. Go in God's grace and peace. Amen.